No high from you?
What?
No high from you?
I'd give him more buys than highs.
I know, but God, so awkward.
I felt pretty comfortable.
Oh boy. Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruth Polinsky in for Mully today. That was a clip from the Jay Cutler reality show several years ago. Nice find, Brandon Fryer. Why are we talking about Jay Cutler?
Very cavalier-y, David. Very cavalier.
Very cavalier. I'm sorry about the reference. I had forgotten the name of the show, but it was a reality show with Kristen Cavallari and mm-hmm. Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, unfortunately, in the news this morning, TMZ Sports reporting that Jay Cutler was arrested for DUI and three other offenses Thursday night in Franklin, Tennessee, outside Nashville. He was cited for the failure to exercise due care, violation of implied consent law, and possession of a handgun while under the influence. Jay Cutler, the mugshot is on TMZ Sports. Jay Cutler in the news for the wrong reasons. Too bad.
That's disappointing, I think.
Yeah, disappointing.
Right? That's disappointing. Just in this day and age, it's just so easy to call an Uber. It's so easy.
Yeah, it is very easy. Jay Cutler was in town recently, had a good moment with him at the first home game of the season for the Bears. I believe it was he was here for the Titans game with his kids. And he had a good weekend. It was good to see Jay. Hopefully he learns from this. And he's out on bail. The mugshot is there, and you'll hear about this probably throughout the day. TMZ Sports. Remember when TMZ was like that? You just never really were sure whether or not to believe anything from TMZ.
Yeah.
Now they're basically out in front on a lot of things, and they have connections everywhere, and it's more of a respected go-to news source.
Yeah,
for a lot of people,
especially when it comes to the pop culture, celebrity, you know, that scene
from Bears quarterbacks. Past to Bears quarterbacks present.
Much more positive.
Yeah, the Bears have the weekend off, so we can debate things like Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels in the game that is flexed next Sunday. We have only a week or so to talk about that, to hype that. Also, heading into this weekend, it's interesting to see the other teams in the Bears division duke it out. And we have the Lions playing the Vikings. Somebody's going to lose there. And you have the Packers with a very difficult game against the Texans at Lambeau Field. You think they could lose there. And so the Bears could wake up Monday morning feeling very good about themselves and very good about their place in the division, the toughest one in football. I wanted to get to something Dave Wanstead said Thursday on the afternoon show, because as we continue to heap praise on Caleb Williams, I think you sometimes consider the source, and sometimes you wonder about, you know, where Caleb is in his development and progress. So with Dave Wanstead, our resident football expert here, this is what he had to say about Caleb Williams and the impression he's left on Dave.
He's so far ahead. I was on a show with Colin Cowherd this week, you know, and we were talking about that. He says, "Where's this kid?" I says, "The guy is years ahead of any rookie that I've been around as far as football intelligence." He gets it.
For him to say
in the post game one time, I knew I didn't really. They said, "Well, you didn't have any big plays. As long as pass play, I think, was the running back on a screen a couple weeks ago."
Yep.
You know, longest pass to the receiver was the Romo Dunze, 11 yards. And someone asked him about it, and he says, "Well, I knew I didn't have to force anything because my defense was playing so good, and the punter had kicked two punts, Tony, 65
yards.
I mean, you know, it's a kid from Iowa. It's crazy good. Best ever." And he said, "So I knew I didn't have to force anything down the field." I mean, that's something that Tom Brady says.
So Dave Wanstead, high praise indeed for Caleb Williams. He referenced Colin Cowherd, who essentially proclaimed this week the curse is over. It has been lifted. And the Bears have found their guy. Have the Bears found their guy?
Can we just point out that Dave Wanstead just called Torrey Taylor best ever punter?
Yeah, he did.
Best ever. Noted. Write it down. Have the Bears ended the curse? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Or is the curse ended? And we talked about this yesterday on the Big Pro Football Show on Chicago Sports Network. But I am holding off on that declaration, not because I'm not over the moon excited about Caleb Williams. To end a curse, like, you got to do something. Get to the playoffs, win a playoff game, get to the conference championship, win a Super Bowl, go to the Super Bowl. before you say that this is the Messiah, right? To use a word from Kyle Brandt.
Six games into his NFL career.
They've played the easiest schedule in the NFL through six games. They are ranked 32nd in strength of schedule through the first six games. They're ranked second in strength of schedule for the remainder of the season. So there is a lot of football to play. Not that I don't think Caleb Williams can handle it and is going to be excellent. And maybe the curse is over. And I hope it is. But I'm holding off on that declaration until things happen here that haven't happened ever.
I agree with that because I do think that there's such a rush to be first on a lot of things, to be first to predict greatness for somebody, that this is part of that process. A lot of respect for Colin Coward, but I just don't think that after six games, as much as I have been in Caleb Williams' camp and have been since a year ago, before this all started, I was in favor of the Bears moving on from Justin Fields. I believe that Caleb Williams will be the best quarterback in Bears history. I believe all these things will be true, but I don't think after six games you have seen enough to draw that conclusion or to form that conclusion, because the first three were kind of shaky. The last three have been very encouraging. Let's see what the second half of the season holds, or the 11 remaining games before, dare I say, maybe the playoffs, because that is in play based on how he has progressed.
And I want to add something to my previous point about get to those games, and you want to be in those games because of Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. That you want to be there because of him. And that's something that we haven't seen yet. And I think it's could happen. I think it is going to happen, but I'm holding off on that proclamation.
312-644-6767. What do you think? Have you seen enough to have that sort of opinion about Caleb Williams? Because let's face it, when you compare and contrast, we mentioned Jay Cutler. This is more encouraging than the first six games of Jay Cutler's tenure in Chicago. It's more encouraging than any quarterback's first six games that you could probably point to in recent memory. I think you go back to Rex Grossman. He was the quarterback of the Bears NFC Championship team. Now, he was more passenger than driver, but I think you have to give him credit. And the first six games of the 2006 season, Rex Grossman was an MVP candidate. That's not an exaggeration. Go check it out. He was an MVP candidate after six games in 2006. Jay Cutler, he did what he did in Chicago. He had somewhat prolific passing numbers on occasion. He had the arm talent that made you say, wow, he was wildly inconsistent, and he could be. Mitch Trubisky, once through for six touchdowns. That didn't work out so well, even though he was the quarterback of a playoff team. Justin Fields, we've covered that ground. The floor was pretty encouraging, was pretty acceptable. The highlights were phenomenal, but as a passer, he left a lot to be desired. That's why they moved on to Caleb Williams, and here we are. Now we're comparing Caleb Williams to Jaden Daniels, the other rookie quarterback who's probably having a better year right now than Caleb Williams. It's close, but right now I think the edge would go to Jaden Daniels.
One of our Twitch streamers pointed out that let's not forget that the Commanders have had a very easy schedule as well.
Okay.
And I think that's absolutely valid. And to go back to Dave Wanstead's point, who everyone knows that's my favorite human being, maybe arguably in the world, other than like my mom, tied with my dad. No, I'm just kidding. Definitely like him more than my husband. No, Dave Wanstead, to his point, I think what's been so encouraging to him as a former head coach, and I don't want to speak for him, but just listening to Caleb Williams and the way that his brain works is something I don't think we've really seen in Chicago. I mean, you could speak to this more, but maybe ever. And just the mentality and the priority and the way that he's processing information and then going out there and executing.
This won't be a comparison that I see a lot of similarities in terms of the execution and maybe the quarterback play overall, but I do think that when you say that in those terms, in that context, Kyle Orton was a very good quarterback at reading defenses and putting the ball where it needed to be. I don't want to compare the arm talent and the overall package, because I think that Caleb Williams has far greater potential than Kyle Orton. But Kyle Orton was the kind of guy who you could trust with a lot of information to process things quickly and to find the open receiver. Caleb Williams' ability to process things makes him special. Mm. His arm talent adds to that and enhances that. I think the most vivid image that you have of Caleb Williams in the first six games from a television viewer standpoint is the way the NFL Network focused on his eyes.
It was incredible.
The eye movement. And so we, you know, in this town, we appreciate good eye movement from a Bears player, going back to Samurai Mike and his crazy eyes. And you saw the way that intensity depicted a player that was a Hall of Famer. Not to say that Caleb Williams is going to be a Hall of Famer, but his eyes, when you followed the progression, it helped you understand why he makes the decisions he makes and why he's so good at it.
To be inside his brain would be a journey. I think, and I even was just struck by immediately in his post-game interview with Stacey Dales, who I know you love on this program, She asked him, you know, I don't know what the question was necessarily, but it was like, man, you know, what an offensive performance today. His first answer was, I shouldn't have thrown that interception. Mm-hmm. And that to me is just one of those sicko mentalities of like that Tom Brady where you don't sleep at night, even though you blew out the team, because you're thinking about all your mistakes. And that's what you want to see out of a franchise quarterback.
312-644-6767. What do you think? Chris is on the road. Chris, welcome to Moline Haw.
Hey, guys. Big fan. Just want to go ahead and touch back on the curses lifted topic. I do think, and I agree with what Ruth said, we need to see a little bit more. We need to see some wins, maybe a playoff appearance. Maybe even if we top Green Bay 2-0, that'd be awesome, right? But only being 6 weeks in and saying that the curse is lifted, still a little premature. It's kind of like a Chicagoan optimistic, I think, view. But I think the media and Chicago's tour, I think we still need to see a little more. But other than that, still very excited. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, we do tend to get ahead of ourselves a little bit in Chicago.
That's what we do, right?
At times. It does seem to happen every now and then. 708, the step from good to great does not happen in year one. He's still making rookie mistakes in his decision-making. Year two, for a quarterback, is the equivalent of 60 games in baseball. We will know what we have at this time next year.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
This goes back to my point about Houston right now. I don't know if anyone's sitting there being like, CJ Stroud is playing mistake-free football, and we've seen him take a giant, massive leap.
Big brother, CJ Stroud.
Big bro, little bro.
Did he have the same moment with Drake May that he had with Caleb Williams?
He said something along the lines of like, keep going, learn from your mistake. I think he said, learn from your mistakes. He said,
I respect you, bro. You're really solid, man. Learn from your mistakes. Keep going, bro. Got it. You know what I'm saying to you. You know, yeah. Keep going, bro.
Keep going. Listen,
why does that amuse me? I don't know why it amuses me. He's 22 years old.
It's very surprising, right, to me that you're so, that you are bothered by this.
I don't know if I'm bothered by it. I'm trying to figure out if I'm bothered by it.
I think it's who he is. I think it's who CJ Stroud is. And I said this after it happened with Caleb Williams. I was like, my first thought when I heard that post-game interaction between CJ Stroud and Caleb Williams was, man, that's annoying that CJ Stroud is like a great quarterback and also just a really nice guy. Like, why are you perfect? You know, like that's annoying to me. Whereas now I just think it's nice. Like, Drake May's in a tough spot right now. And like, that was a tough game, and Drake May had some bright spots, but I think to hear from a guy across that's saying like, you're going to be good. You're going to be okay.
You can benefit from my experience. Yeah,
not benefit from my experience, but just words of encouragement.
Yeah, I don't disagree necessarily. I think the Caleb Williams thing rubbed me the wrong way, only because Caleb Williams clearly did not want to take part in that. And maybe you would read the room a little better or read the situation a little better. And CJ Stroud also was a big Justin Fields guy during that whole debate, and I think he came out for Justin Fields, and maybe that was something that kind of a little more baggage. I don't think there's that kind of background with Drake May, so I'll give you that.
It's funny that, because after it happened with Caleb Williams, CJ Stroud was asked about it, about were you little broing him? And he was like, no, absolutely not. And then he went out and did it again.
He did it again. Well, that's clearly who he is. And that's good. That's good for him. 630, it's not too early to predict Caleb as a savior. If you can't predict now, when would you? After he wins the Super Bowl, saying it then is not prediction. It would be results-based analysis, which is not a prediction. All right.
Okay, that's fair. We're defining prediction now, I guess.
We're defining prediction. I mean,
that's fair.
It does seem a little bit early.
But what Colin Cowherd did was not a prediction. He declared it's over.
Yeah, it was a declaration.
I'm not ready to do that.
He has been a Caleb Williams guy from the beginning. He has some connections, I think, with Caleb's team and out in Los Angeles. And so you could understand that maybe a little bit. And I respect the fact that he does go out on a limb sometimes and he's not afraid to be wrong. I'm not afraid to be wrong. I just think it's a little bit early, and I've been pretty clear about what I expect from Caleb Williams and why he was the right direction for the Bears to go when they are evaluating what to do about the future at the position.
Yes.
To understand, okay. 708, to understand C.J. Stroud, look up the video clip of when he was on a podcast with Tom Brady, and Tom Brady gave him advice. He's passing it on.
Tom Brady won 7 Super Bowls, so.
Tom Brady did win 7 Super Bowls. C.J. Stroud has had a phenomenal rookie year.
Historic.
Yeah.
Keep going, bro.
Keep going, bro. All right, 312-644-6767. When we come back, we will talk about the trade market and some things we mentioned earlier because of it's heating up. You wonder if the Bears are going to be participants or they're going to sit this one out, but we'll talk about some of the possibilities. When we get back, Ruthie Polinsky's in for Molly. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I'm not here to rebuild. I'm here to win. So, you know, I don't know whatever that means, but yeah, I'm here to win now, and wherever I'm going to be, I'm going to be here to win. So that's all that matters to me.
Welcome back. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky from the Chicago Sports Network is here for Molly today on October 18th. And Ruthie, you know what October 18th is?
What?
It is Mike Ditka's birthday. Happy birthday,
Mike.
Happy birthday, Coach.
Happy birthday, Coach.
It is Mike Ditka's 85th birthday. Mike Ditka, 85. The number resonates with him still. 85
isn't that crazy,
years
right?
old 80, today.
85 wow. Bears, 85th
Yeah,
birthday.
That's a special number in this city.
Yes, it is. And I always remember Mike Ditka's birthday because it also is my late dad's birthday.
Oh.
So they had the same birthday, 1 year apart. My dad would have been 86 today.
Wow.
And Mike Ditka is 85. So happy birthday to the coach. Hopefully celebrating and enjoying himself. And taking the weekend off with the Bears as well and enjoying a nice, restful weekend. So we're going to talk Bears. That was Max Crosby we heard coming back in the segment. And Ruthie, you know Max Crosby is the pass rusher extraordinaire for the Las Vegas Raiders, who were in the midst of turmoil again. They got a new owner this week. Tom Brady was approved. He owns 5% of the team, I believe. But they keep on getting rid of good players. Devontae Adams goes to the Jets. Max Crosby could be next. It sounds like he wants out. So as the trade deadline nears, it's wildly unrealistic, perhaps. But if you're the Bears, don't you have to explore that possibility when you hear somebody like that sound as disgruntled as he sounded, knowing the situation as it is? And also, he would help you in ways that he would help every team that he would join, but it also would keep him away from the Lions, who might be the next team.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. I'm also curious about what's the compensation to go get Max Crosby, right? And the money and all of those things. And I don't have those answers. I didn't do
well, I think when you talk about the compensation, you have to be willing to give up as high of a draft pick as
second round pick.
Would you give up a second round pick? Would you give up the Panthers second round pick that you got in the trade of all trades? Would you give that up because you could add Max Crosby to the list in the haul that you would get in exchange for that deal?
And that second round pick is looking like it's going to be maybe the first pick in the second round, right?
Yeah.
That would be so rubbing it in the Panthers' face. I mean, if that was actually what the compensation was. Well, I think he's in the second year of a $94 million contract. So they have the money, though. The Bears have money right under the cap. They're not,
they do.
They're not pushing it. So, but boy, if you end up one day reciting all the people involved in that trade and the last piece is Max Crosby, wow, what an exclamation point that would be.
I said something that might, if they make this deal, I'd come back and pivot away from, but I said the Bears are not a pass rusher away from being a Super Bowl contender. If they add Max Crosby, would they be a Super Bowl contender this year? Could you see the Bears with this defense, which has not let opponents score more than 21 points for 12 straight games? Does Max Crosby make the Bears the favorites in the NFC? I don't know about that. So I don't know if you're Ryan Poles, if you look at that as the move you want to make, maybe next year. Mm. Your offensive line still is far away from being the kind of offensive line that you trust to win in the playoffs.
Agreed.
But you also make your defense even more elite.
Wouldn't that almost be, though, like Montez Sweat 2.0? Same idea, like it takes him some time to adapt, get involved, shows a couple flashes, and then the next year you've got those two guys coming after you, and you're still on the air quote cheap contract of Caleb Williams.
You just made a trade for Daryl Taylor. He's an edge rusher that has flashed. You drafted Austin Booker. He's a fifth rounder who has potential. You've got DeMarcus Walker, who's having a pretty good year. You are okay opposite Montez Sweat, but you're just very good. Max Crosby makes you
great.
Great.
And that would also make Montez Sweat look great too, right? Like that would open things up for each other where we're talking about where we're looking for more, I think, right now for Montez Sweat at this point in the season. And it's, you know, there's kind of that argument to be made where he's getting a lot of attention, but you want your great playmakers and guys like Montez Sweat to still be making those plays despite the attention. Mm-hmm. You put Max Crosby on there. Woo-wee.
I think that would be my reaction to woo-wee. Yeah, definitely. Woo-wee. Jamal Adams, Dustin, you said Jamal Adams is the safety you were talking about potentially. Yes. He was cut by the Titans.
So he's out there.
He's out there.
Costs you nothing but his salary, right?
But not a great culture guy is what I'm
not a great culture
is what
guy.
I'm kind of reading. And I don't think that really fits the Bears.
Bears are past that point, I think, though. They can absorb. They couldn't absorb the bad culture Georgia defensive tackle, who, by the way, is kind of fizzled out a little bit. They couldn't,
Jalen Carter?
They couldn't adapt. They couldn't, you know, that was a big debate whether they should draft that guy, right? And they didn't, and part of it was culture and off-the-field issues.
Jervon Dexter's ascension this year into the type of player you need at that three-technique position has been something that helps you accept the fact they didn't go after Jervon Carter because...
Right.
Jalen Carter.
Jervon Carter's on the Bulls.
I know what you meant.
I knew exactly what you meant, and I also didn't think twice. I agree with you, and I think the Jervon Dexter storyline deserves a lot of attention, and it's getting a lot of attention, but that's a big credit to Ryan Poles' front office sort of talent identification coupled with the Matt Eberflus defensive coaching staff development. Like, that's exactly what you want to see out of a player like that. So when you sit there and you say, okay, Max Crosby, that looks great, but is that...
There are also other teams out there that are looking at this as like, if Max Crosby's disgruntled, we're going to jump in. Teams that might be a little bit closer to a championship.
Sure.
The Detroit Lions are the team that would be the odds-on favorite for a guy that played his college football in Ypsilanti at Eastern Michigan. It would make a lot of sense for the Lions.
But where are they financially? They seem to be giving out contracts left and right. I mean, could they absorb the 2.5 years or at least 2 years of $94 million spread over four? I don't know that they're in a position to do that.
It's an interesting point. Right. And I do think that there's an element of we're not going to replace Aiden Hutchinson. Like, that's kind of a more of a, like, culture.
They wouldn't mind replacing Aiden Hutchinson if it puts them in the Super Bowl this year. And then you figure out what to do next. I don't know that you ever have too many pass rushers. You can never have too many guys getting to the quarterback. It's the easiest place to stockpile because you can use them situationally. You can use them a lot of different ways. I think if the Lions had an opportunity to get Max Crosby, they are $28 million under the cap. They have the fifth most cap space of any team in the NFL, according to SpotRack. So they do have
an answer. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. To me, for the Bears to get in on this, it just doesn't feel like a gaping hole that needs addressing that kind of contract. Like, if you're looking at this Bears team and you're saying, okay, where do they need to get better? You're not saying defense. And I hear you on the Jaquan Brisker, maybe question mark around his health and longevity, but it's just not really the sort of place I feel like this team needs to be allocating all of their resources at this moment. This defense, this Bears defense is elite. It's elite. It's great. It's championship winning football. And, you know, we could say it again, 12 straight games allowing 21 points or less.
They are. They're as good as they're top
second
five,
in the
top
league,
10 defense.
Second in the league in takeaways,
all the things.
It's special. It's a special defense. So to me, it's just, this is going to be a massive allocation of resources to go acquire a guy like Max Crosby. And I just don't know if that's where, but this is Chef Poles, and he stirs the pot.
Let him cook.
And he's cooking. We don't know.
Let's see what Joe has to say on the road to squeeze in a phone call. Hey, Joe, welcome to Nolan Haw.
Good morning. I would trade the Carolina second round pick in a heartbeat for Max Crosby. One, it still allows you a first and a second for offensive linemen next year in the draft. Secondly, it would make your defense elite. And that's what you need to get to the top of the NFC North. There's no doubt about it.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the phone call. Texter weighs in 309. How about getting Mike Williams out of New York? He could get his groove back with Keenan Allen. You don't need wide receivers.
All these people talking about, go get wide receivers. Devontae Adams. All these people. Mike Williams. Where is he? You want him to take snaps away from Keenan Allen?
Routes. Just ask Aaron Rodgers.
You want him to take snaps away from Rome Odunze, who you just spent a ninth?
No.
Ninth overall pick on?
You don't want him to take snaps away from anybody. Your wide receiving core is fine. You're fine.
Fine.
You aren't fine on the offensive line. If they could go out and get a left tackle, if they could go out and get an interior lineman, somebody like that, maybe. But I don't know that you can plug and play offensive lineman as easily as you can. A pass rusher, a defensive back, somebody like that. Offensive linemen are harder to get midseason to make an impact. Right. We'll continue to talk about the Bears next hour, but when we come back, Northwestern has a big game on the lakefront tomorrow. They play Wisconsin. Their head coach, David Braun, joins us next. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Ooh-wee.
As they trudge, and then explode for a 37-10 victory on the road.
Well, as he said, was necessary. David Braun and Northwestern, they're getting on the plane back to Evanston, 3-3 with their first Big Ten win.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today, and we are going to talk college football, hoping to connect with Northwestern coach David Braun, the reigning Big Ten Coach of the Year. They've got a big game on the lakefront on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock against Wisconsin. Later in the day, Michigan plays Illinois, which is the other big game in the conference. Indiana against Nebraska. That's going to be a big day in the Big Ten.
Big day, big game, a lot of nerves for Ruthie Polinsky. But I'm excited I'm excited for Northwestern right now. I think this is an interesting matchup, and I'm really interested to hear more about kind of just the way both of these teams trending.
They were 11-point underdogs in Maryland. They won 37-10.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how you go from being doubted to that degree to being as dominant as they were. Before we get to college football, we need to follow up a little bit on the Max Crosby conversation. There's a little tidbit that is worth at least mentioning in the context of why Max Crosby wouldn't necessarily be totally against the idea of engineering a trade to the Bears.
Max Crosby's position coach in 2021 in Las Vegas was Travis Smith, the Bears defensive line coach. And in Travis Smith's bio on the Bears website, it says this. In 2021, Smith tutored defensive end Max Crosby to his first Pro Bowl. where he earned Pro Bowl defensive MVP honors. The third-year defensive end posted a career-high 56 tackles, 8 sacks, and 30 quarterback hits and 7 passes defensed on the season. He teamed up with defensive end Yannick Ngakoue, who added 10 sacks last season.
That's a nice little tidbit to file away. Just keep that in mind whenever the Max Crosby conversation comes up over the next couple weeks at trade deadline, November 5th. All right, now shifting back to college football. Joining us on the Aturo Tire Hotline is Northwestern coach David Braun. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, coach. How are you?
Good morning, David. Thanks for having me on.
Ruthie Polinsky's joining me this morning in for Mully. We're excited about tomorrow, your opportunity to play Wisconsin. Last game at the temporary stadium that seems to have been a very good home for you and given you a little bit of a home field advantage. How has the experience gone for you playing there with those majestic views of Lake Michigan?
Yeah, no, it's been great. You know, unique 2-year period of, you know, bridging into the new Ryan Field, but you know, I think it's been great for our guys. Been neat to, you know, have our students back on campus for the Indiana game and to see their engagement with our football program. And the most unique venue in all of college football right now. Really proud of the way that we were able to get this done, and you know, we'll make sure we want to send this venue out the right way this season with our last opportunity against Wisconsin with a win.
Coach, with all the talk about the potential weather you could face on the lakefront, looks like you're going to have another gorgeous day on Saturday. Is that something that you guys are sort of laughing about after all the conversation about the potential lake effect wind and the cold in the fall?
No, we feel really fortunate. I mean, we've been able to order up some incredible weather, which I know has been great for the fan experience. And to be honest with you, I think that's something we were hoping for, is just, you know, hopefully getting some weather that, you know, everyone can come out early, tailgate, enjoy the lakefront, enjoy a beautiful day on the lake, watching Big Ten football. And, you know, our guys were giving me a hard time on Tuesday. You know, we had a bunch of wind, rain, hail, and we went outside and practiced on Tuesday just because we know in Big Ten country you're going to have to deal with those elements. We might as well practice in it. But, you know, fortunately on game day we haven't had to deal with much of that yet. And, you know, looking forward to another beautiful day on campus on Saturday.
Joined by Northwestern coach David Braun here on the Mully and Haws Show. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. Coach Braun, so Jack Lausch has emerged as a redshirt sophomore leader of this offense. And against Maryland, a game that you guys dominated, he was 10 for 18 with 203 yards. And he also added 30 yards on the ground. Pretty good multi-purpose dual threat. What has he done and how has he evolved to put himself in a position to be your leader offensively?
So excited for Jack. You know, it wasn't easy sledding at first. There were some growing pains. But he has just continued to work, continued to take ownership on the things that he needs to work on. And the thing that's really exciting to see is you can just see, you know, a level of confidence with his decision-making starting to show up, the ability to use his legs to scramble, extend plays, you know, keep moving the chains in some of those third down situations when things break down. And the thing that's been really exciting to see is just some of the continuity that's being built with, you know, the wide receivers, the tight ends and the backs in the passing game. You can just start to see him trusting the timing and space that's available when he's getting the ball up to A.J. Henning and Bryce Kurtz. And that's something that comes with reps, especially reps in the arena on game day. But some of the things that we've been seeing in practice, to see those showing up these last 2 weeks in games, is something that, you know, I think gives all of us a lot of confidence for what this offense is going to look like moving forward.
I wanted to ask you about Bryce Kurtz, who has clearly emerged as one of the favorite targets. 2 straight 100-yard receiving games. What can you tell us about sort of the chemistry that is being formed between Kurtz and his quarterback?
You know, you can just see the leadership out of Bryce and Jack in that. Like, there's a humility from Jack to take feedback from a veteran wide receiver like Bryce. There's good conversations going on. Those guys are acting like pros. But, I mean, even after reps in practice, Bryce coming back and, you know, hey, you know, let's get the ball up a little bit earlier here, or trust me, I'm going to hit this spot. The conversations that are going on between those two are what leads to some of the continuity that you're looking for. And, you know, you got a senior captain in Bryce Kurtz that, you know, early on in the season, maybe a little frustrated, you know, wanting to have more impact, helping his team win. But, you know, never hung his head, never pointed fingers, just continued to work. And to see, you know, him have the opportunities to produce the way that he has the last couple of weeks is something that's a credit to both him, Jack, the offensive line, this entire offensive staff.
So, Coach, we talk all the time about players when they get experience, maybe the second year the game slows down for them. You see it in a quarterback specifically. But I wonder from your perspective, last year, even though you were the Big Ten Coach of the Year, your head was probably spinning a little bit all season long. How has it been different this year? How has that experience benefited you and made you a better game day head coach, a better coach overall from Sunday through Saturday?
Yeah, it's been radically different, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, last year I was calling the defense. This year, you know, I'm not. You know, those responsibilities have fully been handed over to Tim McGargle. And what it has allowed me to do is invest a lot of time during the week and on game day of just trying to be at my best in terms of helping us manage the game and understand how we can utilize the clock to our advantage. Having ongoing conversations, you know, in terms of certain field zones or where we may be going for it on fourth down. It's certainly been different. You know, it's an area that, you know, I know with more experience, I'll continue to grow in that, but, you know, still a lot of room for growth, but have a great staff, you know, around me. You know, every Wednesday we'll sit down, the three coordinators, myself, our senior analyst, Harlan Barnett, you know, our assistant head coach, and we'll really dive in and really just talk about our plan for winning that Saturday and what it's going to look like, you know, based on the, you know, weather, based on our opponent, based on where we're at as a team. You know, each approach is going to be a little bit different, but excited about where we're trending in terms of the way that we're managing the game.
You guys are clearly trending in the right direction, and I think it's fair to say that Wisconsin is coming into this game firing, especially offensively. Braden Locke doing such a great job of, you know, filling in for the injured Tyler Van Dyke. What can you tell us about sort of containing this team offensively?
Yeah, you know, huge credit to Wisconsin. I mean, the way that they're playing, you know, even these last 3 weeks, you know, they're up on USC on the road, you know, well into the third quarter, aren't able to finish the game off, but come back in a dominant fashion against Purdue. And really impressive win for them to go on the road against a good Rutgers team, a well-coached Greg Schiano team, and dominate the way that they did. You see, you know, out of them, you know, an evolution on the offense side of the ball. You know, quarterbacks playing really well, throwing the deep ball well. They found ways to effectively run the football, very effectively. The backs are playing really well. The O-line's playing really well. They're playing really sound defense. They're playing in all three phases. They're hot right now and playing with a lot of confidence. And, you know, there's no doubt in our mind that they, you know, they have our attention. We know we're going to have to absolutely be at our best Saturday, you know, to come out with a win.
11 o'clock at Northwestern along the lake, Northwestern and Wisconsin. It's going to be a great game. Best of luck, David, the rest of the season and tomorrow.
No, thank you so much. Appreciate you having me on.
Coach David Braun, the reigning Big Ten Coach of the Year.
Thanks, Coach.
Big challenge tomorrow against the Wisconsin Badgers. That's going to be a tough challenge. But you know what? I didn't think Northwestern was going to go into Maryland and win 37-10, so you never know. It is college football, and it is one of those kind of years in the Big Ten, it seems.
And it does feel like playing a game, their final game of the season there on that lakefront that got so much hype preseason and then was really, you know, just profiled so beautifully throughout the course of the year. Like, that's an emotional...
It's a great commercial for the program, too.
It is. It really is. They adapted.
The skyline, the view, it's great.
Oh,
it's going to be fun. Afternoon, 11 o'clock kickoff. When we come back, the Blackhawks had their home opener on Thursday night, and it went very well. Kaylee Chelios was there. She'll tell us what she saw. She joins us next. Ruthie Polinsky's in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Woo-wee!